We are joined by Larry Nagengast, who this week is updating us on The Warehouse, a facility that is just about set to open on Wilmington's east side to serve teenagers in the city of Wilmington. Larry's been following this for a while, and now we kind of get to see, well, maybe not the end of the story, but at least a significant milestone in that story. Larry, thanks for joining us.
Glad to be here, Tom.
Let's start by reminding people what The Warehouse is. What is the concept of The Warehouse?
Okay. Well, the idea here is to have a safe and supervised place for teens to go after school and in the evening hours. Now, that's a really big need in Wilmington's Riverside community, which is an area that's known for its low-income demographic and a very high, relatively high crime rate. It's also fair to say that this is a need that exists throughout the city of Wilmington. The Warehouse will be, however, more than just a place for kids to hang out. I mean, thanks to a growing network of partnering organizations, the Warehouse will give teens a place to get their homework help, to learn how to cook, to watch movies, to explore their interests in things like dance, art, physical fitness. They'll also be able to get tips on writing resumes, how to find a job, and very importantly, how to stay healthy.
As you kind of read that laundry list, it kind of strikes me that what will actually be available at The Warehouse has grown significantly since the project was first pitched. How much has it grown, and what services and programs will it now provide when it opens?
Well, The Warehouse started as a project of the Kingswood Community Center about 4 years ago, shortly after Logan Herring became executive director there. It has now become part of this much larger Reach Riverside initiative, which is a program designed to revitalize the entire Riverside community in Northeast Wilmington. Now, at the start, Logan Herring was trying to develop a program that would rely on a handful of organizations, four or five or so, that would give teens in the neighborhood something to do after school. Then he started talking up the idea and pitching it to businesses, to foundations, to other nonprofits, and all of a sudden, it just experienced a viral kind of growth. Foundations got interested, and then the nonprofits, other community centers, state agencies, even businesses. And now the Warehouse has the potential to be an operation that actually does serve teens from the entire city of Wilmington. They've now got, and catch this, 136 groups that are pledging to offer some form of programming and support services at the site. Some of them are going to have office space at the Warehouse. Others will be scheduling activities there on a regular basis. And for others, it'll be occasional involvement. But what's most important about all this, and what's most interesting, is that the teenagers themselves have been involved in planning for the last year and a half, and they're going to be involved in planning new programs as things move forward. The motto at the Warehouse is for teens by teens, and thus far it seems to be working.
We'll get to that a little bit more in a moment, but first, with any project of this scale, funding is a big question, but it seems, as the project kind of went viral, as you said, it kind of got a boost economically as well. It's in pretty good shape in that regard. At this juncture, does it have what it needs not only to get off the ground, but to be sustainable?
Most definitely does. You're talking about $8 million that they needed for the to get started. They raised the $8 million, and they reached their goal thanks in part to a $1 million grant from Christiana Care, six-figure contributions from the Longwood Foundation and other major businesses. The building itself had been the site of this former Prestige Academy Charter School. When Prestige Academy shut down because of declining enrollments, Capital One Bank was left holding the mortgage. Capital One couldn't find a buyer, and so they donated the site as well. So, taking all of this together, they've got $8 million to get started. They needed an operating budget of $1 million to $1.3 million for the first year. They've already covered that, and they're starting to raise money for 2021. Now, Moving forward, the operating money is going to come from a variety of sources. You know, the groups that use the space are going to be paying rent. Some of the programs that will be offered here are going to qualify for state or federal grants, things like the Department of Education's opportunity grants that Governor Carney set up a couple of years ago, things like that. Foundations and businesses will chip in too. I mean, and at the start, this foundation support is going to be crucial, but the managers expect to reduce their reliance on this philanthropy to somewhere in the neighborhood of 15% of their budget in a couple of years once they get themselves firmly established.
Let's get back to this for teens by teens concept that you mentioned. To date, it seems like this project has kind of kept the promise of for teens by teens. How has it done that thus far? And how have the youth that it will serve been part of kind of actually just getting this whole concept rolling?
Well, the for teens by teens piece got started in the summer of 2018. That was at that time, the warehouse latched onto some teenagers who had participated in the Dual School, which is a project-based learning program that we've talked about on this program a couple of times before. And they hired the teenagers who had been involved with Dual School and got them to start researching what the warehouse really ought to look like. The kids went out into the community. They met with other teenagers. They created some pilot programs. They tested them out on younger students who were in the schools at the community education building. And then after they had an idea of what they wanted, they started meeting, the teens themselves, with government leaders, with legislators, with the heads of foundations, even had a meeting with Governor Carney to try to explain why this project was so important to them. Now, I talked to a number of these teenagers this week, and they told me that they felt like they had built this place. Some of them are referring to it already as their second home. And now, you know, and if these kids keep their word, the warehouse is going to be more than just a place for kids to drop in. They're going to have some ownership. It's going to be a place that they care about and that they truly make their own.
With that in mind, what are the goals for how the warehouse will serve these teens? How many does it plan to serve? How does it plan to make the facility available, not just on the east side, but as you mentioned, kind of beyond?
Well, you know, Patrick Ryan, the programming director, says the goal is to serve 250 students in the first year. And, they're really not sure how many are going to show up when they open the doors. One of the teenagers there said, we could have way too many, or it might only be a handful that show up those first couple of days. So while it's a little unclear what they're going to get and how that's going to work out, I can easily see 250 kids making use of this facility on a regular basis. Now, even so, they do have some logistical issues. The warehouse is a half a mile walk from Howard High School, which is the closest high school. It's a mile from Freire Charter School, which is the next closest. And the other high schools are really farther away. Now, they do have plans in the works to partner with the Wilmington Department of Parks and Recreation to run a shuttle bus loop that would link to community centers in other parts of the city, over in the West End, down in Southbridge, and so on, other places where teens tend to go after school. So there would be that shuttle bus loop. They're going to start piloting that at some point in March. The other thing that's really interesting, certainly we'll find out more about it as this evolves, is that the University of Delaware is working on this vehicle-to-grid technology with electric buses, and they're hoping to partner with the university as that project moves along and use these electric buses as the shuttle system. And with this vehicle-to-grid technology, I don't know a whole lot about it, but the idea here is that the buses themselves generate surplus electricity, which could then get plugged back into the grid and perhaps help power the warehouse in another way.
As you mentioned earlier, you've had a chance to talk to some of the young people involved in this project, and it seems that there is an energy and enthusiasm with them for the project. Is that kind of the general feeling you've gotten in talking to the kids involved?
Yes, they're definitely enthused. As I said, some of them are talking about the warehouse as their second home. They're proud of what they've done already. They refer to themselves as ambassadors. They're looking forward to showing the kids who show up early on what the place is all about, and showing them all of the features in the building. They're confident, they're creative, and they're taking a great deal of pride in their work.
As your story notes, this is really the first piece of the Reach Riverside Community Revitalization Project. Tell us a little bit about where things stand with other parts of that project. What's next with the Reach Riverside project?
Okay. Well, you know, Reach Riverside is a big deal. It's the revitalization of a corner of Wilmington that has long been neglected. You know, and the biggest and the most visible piece of the project is going to be the demolition of nearly 300 housing units, most of them row homes that are owned by the Wilmington Housing Authority, and replacing them with 400 or so housing units, which would mostly be owner-occupied. Some of them sold actually at market rate and others at subsidized prices that are dependent upon the buyer's income. The idea here is that some of the new homes are going to be built, and once this first group is built, then they'll tear down a portion of the old Riverside housing projects, build some more, tear some down, and so on. So this is going to take a number of years. Anyhow, the first phase is expected to start in May, when construction of 74 homes, most of them are going to be 2 and 3 bedroom units, would begin. Now, I don't know anything about the pricing, any details on the pricing or this construction timeline yet, but from what I've observed with other projects, I would estimate that the first homes are going to be ready for occupancy spring or summer of next year if all goes well. Now, housing is certainly the biggest part of this revitalization with Reach Riverside, but some other components include building a new Kingswood Community Center, possibly expanding the Eastside Charter School to include high school grades, and developing programs that would make a dent in the unemployment and healthcare deficiencies in the area. You know, at times like this, I really wish that I had a time machine. I'd be able to look like 15 years in the future. We talked a couple of months ago about major redevelopment in Claymont, and we know that there are plans for a port project at the site of that former DuPont Edgemore plant. And now we've got Reach Riverside. It's going to take a while, but this entire area along the Delaware River, from downtown Wilmington all the way up to north to the state line, is going to start taking about a very different look. And right now, we can just only imagine how it's going to turn out.
All right, Nangas, as always, we appreciate your time. We appreciate your reporting.
Thank you, Tom.